So I said that the human endeavor needs to be complemented by the divine intervention for us to gain self-mastery. Now, can our human endeavor attract the divine intervention? And because there's uncertainty when that will come, what if we fall for our sin, fall down, and then our conditioning becomes stronger, and then the battle becomes even more difficult? What will happen? There is that fear. See, there is analysis and there is synthesis. So that means sometimes we may separate the human endeavor and the divine intelligence. Sorry, and the divine intervention. But actually, in a more inclusive vision, even the human endeavor is because of divine intervention only. Even our desire to control our mind and senses, even the knowledge that I should be controlling my mind and senses, even the practice of the process of bhakti that we are able to practice, by which we have some amount of control over mind and senses, that is all because of divine intervention. So we shouldn't think that, you know, Krishna is some kind of arbitrary God who is just holding his mercy away from us when we desperately need it. And we don't know when he's going to give it. Not like that. Krishna has already given his mercy to us. That's how we are able to practice it. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sanatana Goswami renounces everything for the sake of the Lord, and what does he get in return? You know, normally if you renounce something, we expect we should be honored, we should be, at least a renunciation should be appreciated, but instead he gets imprisoned. And he has to make a whole lot of scheme to somehow come out of the jail. And finally he reaches Vrindavan, reaches Allahabad, Prayag, where he meets Chaitanya there he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him. And it's very significant what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said at that time. He says, the activities of the super soul are very great. It is by the virtue of the super soul, Ishwarera Kriya, that although you had such opulence, you developed such renunciation. So it seems, it may seem as if, you know, Sanatana Goswami says, I have renounced so much, I have sacrificed so much. And why is the Lord Chaitanya not appreciating Sanatana Goswami's renunciation? No, he's appreciating, but he's appreciating that it is the Lord who acted in your life. So, we have to see what we have got is also Krishna's mercy. So, rather than thinking Krishna's mercy or divine intention as something which is going to come later, yes, it will come later also. But what we have got now is also divine intervention. And in general, when we use what we have, when we value what we have, when we cherish what we have, Krishna gives us more. So, with whatever capacity we have right now, if we try to control our senses, with whatever capacity we have right now, we try to fix our mind on Krishna, Krishna will see that, he'll appreciate that, and he will give us more. So, yes, the battle against the senses is difficult. And sometimes we may be beaten down. There is a difference between falling down and falling away. Falling down means we are trying to rise to a standard, we fall down. Falling away means giving up. Means give up the path of bhakti. So we fall down. Our conditionings may cause us to fall down, but our conditions cannot cause us to fall away. That means by the force of our conditioning, sometimes some desires may just come like mad within us. They may just make us do crazy things. But those desires don't stay 24 hours in a row. Those desires come and they come like an intense, maddening spike at a particular time. But after that, they go. And what do we do after that? So, because of those desires which come because of our conditioning, we may fall down. But if we let that defeat us, we follow with them. But if we don't give up our hope, we just rise again and keep moving on. Then we will get purified. See, unfortunately, what happens if we consider the graph of our consciousness? There are some spikes of lower desires which come up intermittently. But in between, there is reasonably manageable consciousness. It may not be pure consciousness, but it's manageable. So what happens when the manageable consciousness is there? Now we are worried. What if that spike comes? What will I do? What will I do? What will I do? So then, during that time, we can be Krishna conscious, but we are not Krishna conscious. Just worried, what if in future temptation comes and not able to deal with it? So we are temptation conscious instead of being Krishna conscious. And naturally, when the spike comes, it just overpowers us. And then after that goes also, then what happens? We are beating ourselves. Why did I do that? What a fool I am. I'm such a fallen person. I'm so sinful. Again, we are not Krishna conscious. We are wrongdoing conscious. So, initially we are conscious that I may do wrong. And afterwards we are conscious I have done wrong. And in between, we are doing wrong. So, when are we Krishna conscious then? So, the point is that, you know, what happens during those spikes may not be in our control. But what happens in between is very much in our control. So if we focus on that, when we are not agitated so much, when we are relatively peaceful, at that time if we try wholeheartedly to connect with Krishna, yes, when the temptation comes, I don't know what is going to happen. But I will not bother about that. Right now, I can be Krishna conscious. I can try to keep my conscience pure. Let me do that. We just focus on that, that itself will strengthen us, that itself will purify us. And eventually, if we keep being Krishna conscious while we can be, then when the temptations also come, we will be able to resist them at that time. Because we will have strengthened ourselves by that. And of course, we can also try to find out, you know, what is it that causes the spike? Is there something which we expose ourselves to which causes the spike? Can we cut off that exposure? We can try to take inventory of that. But we don't have to be temptation conscious. We don't have to be fear conscious. We have to be Krishna conscious. By that Krishna consciousness, gradually we will be able to overcome the temptations. So, rather than thinking of mercy as something that is going to come to us in the future, we can see of mercy as manifesting in the opportunity to fix our mind on Krishna right now. So, one installment of mercy is opportunity to focus on Krishna. Another installment of mercy will be affinity to Krishna, where our mind naturally gets attracted to Krishna. That may come later to us. But just the opportunity to fix the mind on Krishna is also mercy. And to the extent we cherish that mercy, that extent will become purified and strengthened, and then that affinity to Krishna will also manifest. Abhyas yogena tato maam iccha tum dhananjaya. Krishna says, asa chittam samadhatum nashaknosi maistiram. If your mind is not spontaneously attracted to me, then practice sadhana bhakti. Just by this practice, your desire for me will come. And by that, you will become attracted to me. So we, in the whole Arjuna pastime, Arjuna tries to kill Jayadrath. And he tries to his fullest capacity and he doesn't reach. At that time, Krishna intervenes. Krishna is intervening throughout also, giving you guidance. Fight this way, don't fight this way, do this, don't do this. But there Krishna dramatically intervenes. Krishna covers the sun. And he helps him reach Jayadrath. So, the principle of that pastime applies to our sadhaka life also. When we do what we can do, Krishna helps us to do what we can't do. So, Arjuna exerted to his full capacity to do all that he could do. And then Krishna helped him to do that which he could not do. So, at least during the time when the spikes are not coming, we do have the capacity to fix the mind on Krishna. If we do that, then Krishna will help us to deal with the spikes of desires when they come. Okay?